This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070.
We are joined live in studio by my old and dear friend, Hawes Spencer, editor, founder, publisher, web editor, you name it. You do it all over there at the Hook newspaper. It's a weekly publication here in Central Virginia. I got an email from a friend, Ed Murphy, a UVA astronomer over there. Evidently, there is a total eclipse of the moon this Saturday night. But it's going to eclipse before the moon actually rises. It's very strange. So, but you'll be able to see it right at sunset. So this we're talking at around 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
Oh, it's actually kind of cool. I saw one a year or two ago that in the height of the winter it was really cold.
Yeah, it's actually red because the sun's rays actually bend around the Earth. So all the light from the sun setting and sunsets around the globe creep around the Earth. And managed to sort of sneak in there. So that's why you see red, the very long light rays.
I don't know. I didn't see that last time. All I saw was like a big bite taken out of the moon, like the Apple Macintosh symbol.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see the red. But in 1979, I saw the total eclipse of the sun up in Montana.
I remember that year.
You do? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I do remember that.
That was exciting.
It was exciting. Speaking of Apple Macintosh, you're a Macintosh fan.
Heck yeah. How about that new study that says UVA students, 20% of them have Macs?
Did you like that little segue into local news?
If that's what that was, I liked it. Delicious.
What is the study?
Well, I guess 5 years ago, they surveyed UVA students and found out that 3% of them use Macs, and today 20% use Macs.
I wonder if that's true nationally. Do we know the national trends?
We don't.
I am one of those people that in the last 5 years has switched to Macs, and I would never go back.
Really?
It is so, and you know this because you're on Macs, it is so far and away a superior product. It's not even funny, but you don't know unless you say, okay, I'm just going to learn Mac, I'm going to switch to Mac, and then once you do, you're like, oh my gosh, what was I doing?
Really? I've never used the PC. I've used it little bits and pieces just if I had to.
It's just one glitch after another.
Really?
And with Mac, you never have those type of problems. I don't want to say never. But it's like every day, every time you turn on Windows, it was like some kind of problem. But
yeah, our company has no sysop.
And we
think that's because we have Macs. We don't have a network administrator. I think
that's why most businesses use Macs because it's less. You have less problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have a webmaster.
So Mac is taking hold at UVA.
Yeah. Well, 20%. You know, it's not dominating, but.
But from 3 to 20 in 5 years, that's something else.
Yeah, they said like 97% of UVA students own a laptop.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
On my freshman hall, August of 1984 at the College of William & Mary, there were two guys who had computers.
On my freshman hall at Hampton-Sydney College, zero.
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody had one.
I used to type people's papers for like a buck or a buck 50 a page on a typewriter.
I went to college with an electric typewriter.
I did too.
Boy, now we're really dating ourselves. My goodness. Hawes Spencer in studio. Let's talk local news.
All right. I just finished talking to a guy named Taylor Emery who was informing me the run across the Sahara, which is a National Geographic I think that's one of the sponsors. Project has ended. It actually ended a week ago, but it was a mammoth thing. We're talking about 111 days covering 4,000 miles from Senegal to the Red Sea. These three runners, international team, ran, and there were three Charlottesvillians there in the entourage. One is Peter Greiser.
Oh, very famous Peter Greiser.
Famous Peter Greiser, former keyboardist for the Dave Matthews Band, the only former member of that particular band.
He's their George Best,
the guy who left the Beatles.
Right, right.
That's the guy.
Peter Greiser, who got out of the Dave Matthews Band right before they got big.
That's right. He's the outreach coordinator for that project. And Don Webster is there as part of the National Geographic team. Lives in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
He's a well-known reporter for National Geographic and Smithsonian and some other magazines. Just recently won an award from, I think, National Geographic Traveler, or for an article done in National Geographic, won a big
really?
Award. Yeah.
He's a hell of a guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I went to, my niece was in the Wizard of Oz show. There's that local troupe that does, that gets kids in plays around here. I uh-huh. can't remember the name of it.
Black Box Theater?
The Black Box Players.
Players.
There you go. And I went to see that. I went to see my niece in that. And who was the Tin Man but Don Webster?
No way.
Yeah, because he had a child in the production, and he sort of got roped into being the Tin Man. That's and a... he was terrific.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever get to the hear about what Billy Joel was talking about when he gave his concert a few days ago, where he was ragging on the Roanoke Times?
Vaguely familiar with this. I know that Billy Joel, the piano man, came to Charlottesville.
That's right. Well, it turns out that he mentioned a couple times during the show that he was miffed at the Roanoke Times, and so we were sort of curious about that and found out that all it was a one little sentence thing in the Roanoke Times that said something like, oh, I wish I didn't bring the whole thing, unless you can bring it up on the internet here. It's just one sentence, but basically it says, piano man Billy Joel will bring his rock and roll to Charlottesville.
Like, right, or something
yeah,
like that.
Like yeah, like kind of yeah. ragging on him for being not so rocky or something.
Yeah, like he's I think she was saying, like he's an old guy, like, yeah, he can rock.
Yeah, in fact, one of the reporters has a little web performance at the RoanokeTimes.com where she says, well, I like Billy Joel in a, you know, kind of a before I was born sort of way. But get this. Here's my funny little connection to Billy Joel. One of his guys taps my wife and her three friends to be in the front row. They show up late.
So your wife and friends went to see Billy Joel?
Yeah, they had like nosebleed tickets and they show up right at the time the show's starting. And then like somebody from the show hands them a ticket that says artist comp row one and says, you're sitting in the front row. How many in your party? Four? Okay, great. And rushes them down there and they watch the show from the front row.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
How did they do that?
I don't know. They think it's because they were blonde chicks. I'm not making this up.
So your wife and friends go to see Billy Joel and they get pulled out of line there and sent to down to sit in the front row.
I'm telling you, truth is stranger than fiction.
Did they get did Billy sort of wink at him and invite him backstage?
One of the party grabbed the buttock of the performer at one point in the show.
Grabbed the buttock and of it was, Billy Joel?
Yeah, not my wife. Or so she said. Moving right along. Lee Danielson's back in town.
I saw that. What in the world? Now, for folks who, we got a lot of folks who just moved to Charlottesville.
There was, back in the mid-90s, Charlottesville's downtown mall was a ghost town, and this one particular developer said, you know, it could be better. I've got a plan. And he built two amazing features of the downtown mall, the Regal Cinema, six screens, and the Charlottesville Ice Park. And
now, folks may find that hard to believe, but it really is. We're talking about like as late as like 95, 96.
Oh, yeah.
The downtown mall was really a ghost town after 5 o'clock.
Sometimes
you'd go down there and there'd be Miller's.
Yeah.
There was always something happening at Miller's, but that was it.
That was it. You know,
it was and like, it was sort of dangerous.
There were some situations, shall we put it.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't really a place that you'd want to just hang out at 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, in fact, I think it was 1990 when that guy got stomped to death on the front steps of Fat City, now Bizu.
Really?
Yeah. My favorite restaurant, by the
way. Man. So Lee Danielson and his partner Colin Rolfe.
Right. Built all that stuff.
Built the movie theater and the ice park.
Right. And so like all of a sudden you had like the hardware store restaurant, the Sino and Miller's and maybe the Jefferson Theater. And then overnight you had all these other things that erupted to fill in the gaps after the ice park and the Regal were built. And now every teenager and their brother and their sister and their twin or whatever goes down there and they can't believe that it was once a ghost town, but it was.
Yeah, and that the ice park was actually a parking lot.
That's right.
Back in the mid-90s. City-owned
parking lot.
Yeah.
And there was big controversy over all his moves, but anyway.
Let's talk about that controversy and the fact that he has reappeared on the downtown mall and has new plans down there on the other side of this break. Hoss Spencer is in studio from The Hook.
Do you like my new shoes?
Let's vote for Gail. Let's vote. She's more like Ray. Vote Gail Parker, U.S. Senate. She's independent. The U.S. Senate needs Gail for real this time.
It's 36 minutes after 4 o'clock in Central Virginia. Coy Barefoot with you. This is Charlottesville right now on News Radio 1070 WINA, the very famous Gail Parker for U.S. Senate jingle that we just can't get enough of. It's It's a whole lot of fun.
Do you play that when other people are on, or do you save it for me?
I play it all the time.
Do you really?
I play it all the time. I love it. Yeah. I love it. I think it's great. And speaking of U.S. Senate, there's we'll get to Lee Danielson, but there's some reports in the Washington Post today that Mark Warner, former Virginia Governor Mark Warner, is interested in running for John Warner's seat, whether he retires or not.
Ooh.
And I can tell you that our Sorensen sources tell us that he's very, very flattered to be asked to be considered, mm-hmm. but that he's not going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Why won't he do it?
I don't know.
Why did he drop out of that presidential race?
I don't know. I think he's interested in vice presidency, and I think he's interested in being governor again. I think he would take one of those two.
Maybe.
At least that's what I hear from the people that he has conversations with.
So, maybe.
So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Hawes Spencer of The Hook is in studio, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you'd like to comment or contribute in any fashion or way that you choose. We were talking about Lee Danielson, who changed the face of the downtown mall, but he was it was sort of a love-hate relationship because he insisted, if I'm going to do a movie theater down here, you got to open up the mall crossing.
That's right.
And a lot of people were upset about that. They wanted it to be no cars crossing the mall. And that turned out to be an okay thing, in my opinion. I don't have a problem with either of the mall crossings.
That's right. Now there's two mall crossings, and there has been no accident or even, you know, there's been no injury, accident, or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worked out really well.
Of course, they don't like to brag about that, because then it becomes sort of like Qantas Airlines. They don't want to brag that they've never had a fatality, because you brag that, and then you have one.
Is that what happened to Qantas?
Well, they've never bragged about it, but to this day, I believe, they've never had a single fatality.
Really? That's the one with the little koalas?
That's the one.
Yeah.
Australia.
Oh, yeah. You ever been to Australia?
I have not.
I haven't either.
That's a pretty big hike.
They tell me it's the other side of the world, but I would know. I've never been
there. They tell you, and a globe seems to suggest, in fact, that it is the other side of the world.
Isn't that amazing? So okay. Lee Danielson is actually, he left Charlottesville, or what happened? He sort of washed his hands of Charlottesville and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you again, because there were all sorts of problems. He and Hooja butted heads for years.
Oh, good point.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. He was mad at Hooja.
Yeah?
He claimed Hooja was trying to design his buildings for him.
Yeah,
Hooja
yeah.
being sort of the representative to the Board of Architectural Review, as well as being the Director of Strategic Planning, a position that was created after one of his feuds with Lee Danielson. But Danielson now lives in California and has not been out of the development scene. He owns an Art Deco hotel in South Beach, Miami, called The Beacon. And The Beacon is the name that he hopes to affix to the hotel he wants to build on Charlottesville's downtown mall. The location is the old Central Fidelity Boxer Learning Building, at the corner of 2nd Street Southeast and the mall. It's a kind of a black, it's black stone. I don't recall whether it's black granite or black marble, but it's a very shiny black material, and it's a big banking lobby that's been sitting empty.
Well, with the mural?
It has a mural inside, but I think current owner Oliver Kuttner removed the mural and took it down to the Frank Ix building for safekeeping.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's really used that building for anything since Boxer Learning moved out in the spring of 2003. And Danielson hopes to build a 9-story hotel with a light at the top. So The Beacon would be an appropriate name. You may recall when Danielson first announced this thing a few years ago, he said it was going to be called Hotel Charlottesville, which prompted a lot of Hotel California jokes about you can check out, but you can never leave.
And the light on top of the hotel is eerily reminiscent of the light that used to be on top of the Monticello Hotel on the Charlottesville's Court Square.
Coy Barefoot, you go way back. You go back 100 years.
This is
you?
In the 1920s, actually. And the light used to point at Monticello. That's sort of a little nice little touch there.
That is a nice touch.
Yeah.
But that would be light pollution today.
It would indeed. And so he's going to do this? Danielson's really going to...
Well, his architect went before the BAR a couple weeks ago, got some more green lights for his yellow light, and boom.
We're talking with Hawes Spencer of The Hook. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. John is on the line with a comment about the downtown mall. John, you're on with Hawes. Go right ahead.
I think just in watching the evolution since the 1960s of the downtown area, it's very vibrant and everything. The only thing I think is unfortunate is it's become so upscale. A lot of the folks don't go down there as much, probably because they can't afford some of the you know, the enterprises that are down there and that. So hopefully there's some balance. I know recently there was an article in a paper about is Charlottesville the next Tahoe or Aspen, Colorado. And I've been in those areas too. And sometimes in traveling and thinking about what I see Charlottesville evolving into, it's kind of saddening if I think about the history and growing up here and what it's turned into. But I think there are some energy out there, some energy out there that want to have that balance, hopefully, that, you know, encourages, you know, than just pushing the whole spectrum of, you know, the socioeconomic out of the area. Hopefully everybody enjoys it.
John, that's a great point.
Yeah, remember there used to be a couple of shoe stores when you and I used to walk on the Mall Coy. There was H&M Shoes and Victory Shoe Source.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was an appliance store that burned.
There was an auto parts store.
Advance Auto Parts.
Yeah.
A lot of downtown hipsters.
I mean, it was still sort of a downtown that got bricked.
Yeah,
in the mid 90s.
Yeah,
that's not true anymore.
Corey, you were there the day they closed Woolworths.
I was standing at the door the moment they locked it.
You've got a picture of the manager locking that door.
Yeah, the Woolworths, which is now
the terraces.
Kuttner did that,
and that's the main retail level is occupied by a place called Kaspari, high-end paper products, which goes to John's point.
It proves John's point, doesn't it?
I mean, you can buy like a stuffed chicken down there for nearly a couple $1,000. I'm not kidding. They have taxidermy.
I think John's absolutely right, and I don't think you can really argue that point. It has become totally frou-froued and swanky and upscale.
Yeah, remember there
was a lot of people love that. And like John, a lot of people who've been around in Charlottesville for a long time sort of, that's a little bit, there's a little melancholy there.
A little melancholy. Remember KMH Hightower? That was kind of a cute little store for ladies to buy knickknacks.
Yeah, yeah. You know, phone lines are still open. George is on the line. George, you with us? You had a comment about Mark Warner?
Yeah, Mark is going to run. He's going to run for John Warner's seat. Timing is everything in politics. It's a little bit early in the game. He wants to appear to be drafted just like FDR. But that's what's going to happen. And because he knows, and I know, and John Warner knows, that he is not getting reelected. And he promised the Republicans.
You mean John Warner's not?
John Warner is not. He promised the Republicans that if they would just not throw him out, he would not run again. That happened the last time he ran. And a lot of Republicans remember that, including me, and he knows he's gone.
You don't
my word for it, Mark Warner is going to be the next senator from Virginia in that seat.
All right, George, we recorded it, so either way it happens, we'll listen to this again one day.
Okay.
Thanks, George, so much. Hawes?
Okay, one more thing. One of the big things we're looking at in the hook this week is the question of, are red light or photo red cameras the answer?
Oh, your video is so sweet.
Isn't that
video on your blog?
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and tell folks, that's you go to readthehook.net and you click on the blog. You can see the video of, I was talking about this yesterday, of the Rio Road intersection, of how the lights work there. It's only green for like a few seconds. You can't get through the intersection.
Yeah, it's like one car might be able to get through, and then the rest would all get tickets. So they're going to either need to lengthen that green light, which will upset the whole delicate balance of red light, whatever, on Emmett Street.
Why is that? Rio Road is one of the major routes in this whole area, and yet when it crosses 29. It's like it just shuts down. They barely let you through.
Yeah, that's for that left turn. I guess, you know, you have a huge flow of cars in both directions. So that'll be a hot topic of coming up, since the General Assembly passed enabling legislations that allows localities to install those cameras.
Yeah, and you know you're going to see it here. Unless people really raise a stink that they don't want it, you know you'll see those red light cameras here.
I don't
know.
This is a stinky community sometimes, not just in the woolen mills. Now, speaking of communities, McGuffey Park, there's a $750,000 renovation moving forward. At a recent February 20th Board of Architectural Review meeting, it was approved.
Before you, and we want to talk about that, but Eric is on the line in Albemarle with a comment about the red light cameras. Eric, go ahead.
Jim Gilmore vetoed it, and Rob Bell has correctly stated that it removes the presumption of innocence. And, you know, all of the justifications for it, that it's going to reduce dangerous you know, dangerous behavior could be used to put cameras anywhere. I mean, why don't we just get rid of domestic violence? We can put cameras in everybody's houses.
Yep, yep.
And we can just simply remove the presumption of innocence altogether. I mean, it's inconvenient for the police to have to presume people are innocent.
Like London, they got cameras all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's in the land of Orwell. I mean, they've got cameras all over London. And, you know, it's an extremely slippery slope, and it's going to be used to generate revenue. It's simply a method of tax collection. And I'm glad that they're writing about it in The Hook.
Well, Eric, let me ask you this. Why, if the Republican Party is supposed to be the party of personal freedom, that's what I always thought. And
Bill
why
Janus,
would they?
Bill Janus and Rob Bell have said they're going to vote against it.
Yeah, and Bell did vote against it, and David Toscano voted for it.
David Toscano
right,
voted
and
for
so it. So did Bill Janus. Bill Janus voted against it, too.
But it did pass.
It passed.
Yeah.
And yeah.
It's headed for Kaine's desk.
And he's supposed to sign it.
Yep, and Jim Gilmore vetoed it, and he made very, very strong civil liberties arguments when he did it.
So we need to get Jim Gilmore in the White House. Is that what you're saying?
I'd vote for him.
Or in the governor's mansion, right?
In the White House. He wants to be in the White House.
Yeah, but
Jim Gilmore was on the president's commission, the commission to study what happened after 9/11 and how to improve security. He was the only Republican that I saw. He wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal called Preserving Liberty During the Terror War.
Yeah.
He gave a speech at the law school where he talked about how it was absolutely essential that we didn't change the important aspects of our country dealing with civil liberties. You know, he put his neck out there to talk about that when a lot of Republicans wouldn't do that.
Eric, thank you so much for the call. And, of course, he's trying to Gilmore's making it clear to everybody that he's definitely interested in being a candidate for the Republican nomination. Steve is on the line, online too, with a comment about the cameras. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, a quick comment about that. If you follow the fellow's logic about the presumption of innocence about the cameras with red light, let's do away with parking meters. You've got that same situation. You don't know who parked there, but you certainly get a ticket on your car if you exceed the time on the meter.
Yeah, I hate parking meters.
Hate them.
And you know what? I hate the ones.
Do away with them if we're not going to use that cameras on the red light.
Oh yeah, but if we get rid of parking meters, how do we allocate the precious resource of parking on city streets?
I hate the
parking permits.
I hate those parking meters downtown in Charlottesville where it only takes a quarter. Like I've got a handful of nickels and dimes, and I can't use them.
Okay, I thought of an invention yesterday when I was at Bodo's and I wanted to buy a newspaper. You ready?
Yeah.
A swipe pass that holds like $10 or $20 worth of credit, and you just kind of like swipe it in a newspaper box or a parking meter or a Coca-Cola machine, and it draws the amount, sort of like those easy speed passes at toll booths. Okay, inventors, I've given you the idea. Now you run with it.
Well, it exists. You just want to apply it to other things.
Well, yeah, I guess it's like a
soda machine.
It's like a bank card, but
you're debiting.
Yeah, I want your newspaper box to be able to accept bank cards, and I want your Coca-Cola machine to accept bank cards.
And your parking meter.
That's all.
I would just like a parking meter to be able to accept a dime.
But if you were, but what I'm saying is if you were terrified that your bank account was going to get cleaned out, maybe you could buy it, like at the drugstore, like you buy a phone card. Oh, I'll take a $15 credit thing and stick it in your pocket.
And you could use it anywhere.
Yeah.
That is very cool.
Well, thank you.
You should start a company that would do that.
Well, I'm busy with other things. Thanks very much.
There you go.
I want somebody to create it.
It's about 7 or 8 minutes before 5 o'clock here in Central Virginia. In the next hour, we'll talk with Steve Safran of LostRemote.com about revolution in the new media and how the new media is affecting journalism. You're all over that. The past few years, you've gone with The Hook. You've got your blogging, you're posting video online. That's just the beginning, baby. You're off and running.
Yeah, but that's boring. Let's talk about something good.
Okay.
another 9-story building in town.
Yes. What is this?
Okay. This
another.
Is, what is this, like the 7th one? This one is at the controversial site of a possible CVS for the corner of McIntyre Road and West Main Street. You may recall that the BAR sort of laughed.
Where that rental store is now.
That's right.
Yeah.
The BAR kind of laughed at somebody's proposal there a few months ago. And so the developer came back and said, "You laugh at us then, we go 9-story. Well, I'm making up the accent.
No soup for you.
No CVS for you. 9-story.
Really? That's exactly that. And that's what they're proposing now?
Yeah. They showed some preliminary talk about it at the February 20th.
How do you feel about all these 9-story buildings?
Well, they're not all getting built, I can tell you that.
Really? Why?
Well, because it's like anything. I remember, I used to own a movie theater in the 1990s, and I remember a bunch of people built multiplexes. And so every movie theater company in America was like, multiplex, multiplex, multiplex. Everybody built these multiplexes, and all of a sudden, bankrupt, bankrupt. there were just too many screens in too short a time. And I was glad, you know, because I was struggling to run this little Jefferson Theater in the downtown mall. And there was another theater that Regal owned called the Greenbrier.
I remember that.
And they were doing the same thing I was doing. And I was so mad. They were trying to, like, undercut me. And
they're gone now.
They went
That's
out
an office
it.
Building now.
That's right.
So over by the Guadalajara over there on Greenbrier.
Yeah, right by the Guadalajara.
Yep.
And the Terrace went out of business, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a little road now. They're going to put a road through there.
That's right. That's the Hillsdale
Connector.
I liked
the Terrace.
Well, it's kind of got
a
cute...
That was a nice theater.
You think? It kind of had a bulbous look to it that some people like.
I saw the Doors there, I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite two-hour-long music video. Yeah.
People are strange when you're...
I will tell you, I don't have any problem with these nine-story buildings. I really don't. As long as they don't put them right on the mall, because it'll kill the mall. It'll always be in shadow.
Well,
it'll be colder.
Excellent
you know?
Point. That is, in fact, that's why the BAR is loving Lee Danielson these days, because his hotel is deeply set back from the mall, and so it's not supposed to throw.
So the
much
tallest
shadow.
Part is on Water Street, then, as opposed to on the mall.
Yeah, even on Water Street, I believe it's set back a bit. There's like a porte cochere where you can pull up and drop off your expensive leather luggage because it's a very high-end hotel.
Is it really?
Oh, yes. But it's made with only the richest Corinthian leather.
So the downtown mall is only going to get more and more frou-frou and upscale.
Frou-frou.
Really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
Well, for you.
I mean, if you're
not if you're a high roller, Coy.
Yeah, if you're a high roller, you probably love it.
Yeah,
that's what we need is gambling. No, I think I think those tall buildings downtown. You know, if anybody can make a nice, beautiful downtown, it should be our community, because we've got so many smart people here who really understand design and the very latest and what works and what doesn't. This town is full of people like that. So, of all places in America that should figure out how to build a nice little city with a little skyline, why not Charlottesville?
Well, let's take a look at the one. You know, radio is probably not the best place for this, but real briefly, there's a nine-story building that was approved right under the Belmont Bridge, or right next to the Belmont Bridge on the Beck Cohen property.
Yeah.
But it's very massive, and one of the BAR members says it's too massive, but it did get approval. It's like a big chunky box in some people's views. It's made by an architect out of New York named Croxton Collaborative.
Hmm. And they're going to build that one?
Well, that's what they say, but I haven't seen a spade turning earth yet, have you?
Not me. Hoss Spencer is the editor and founder of The Hook online at readthehook.com. Thank you, Hoss.
I'm done?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.